Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
I'm Sean, and I'm happy to be able to interview Dave and Kathy, who are going to talk a little bit about what they're doing in our community today. So maybe let's start off by asking, for people who may not be as familiar with what it is that you do and how you interact with the community, maybe you can give us a bit of an overview of your mission and what that looks like.
Okay, thanks, Sean, and thanks to the Missions Committee for all the work they've been doing. For those of us that are represented here at Richview, Kathy and I have the privilege of living in North York, close to York University campus, where we minister. After we lived in Thailand for many years, now we have the honor of connecting and welcoming new immigrants, new international students to Toronto, and sharing the gospel with them in all its fullness. So we have that privilege of connecting and learning and praying for them. And Kathy has two ESL classes a week, and I'll just let her share a little bit about that.
It's been my joy to work with others in teaching ESL to students. I teach about at least four hours a week in the preparation for that, learning all the ins and outs of technology. So I just thank God for this opportunity to work with others to reach out to newcomers to Canada.
Awesome. And speaking of learning and adapting to technology, what does a day or a week in the life of the Cooks look like in terms of kind of your day-to-day, but as well as how has COVID changed that and changed how you operate?
Yeah, good question. And what we did before COVID is Sunday afternoon, we met with a movement on campus now called Lift Church. It's a student movement it's a joy, a disciple-making movement. But some Sundays we're online now. Last Sunday we were on campus, well bundled up, and so on. It's like yesterday, a prayer walk through campus with five others praying for students. Some Japanese students, we prayed for a group of Japanese students that live in one of the residences, that they would come to know Jesus, and thankful for the opportunity to connect with them. We went and prayed at the place where two were baptized about 2 months ago on campus outside, and just gave thanks for what God's doing and that opportunity. It's Friday night. It was online making gingerbread houses with others of the students in their houses and sharing that experience together. It was Wednesday online Bible study, Wednesday evening with others of the international students. Also, I'm taking studies at York. So part-time studies, racism and popular culture, but it gives me more opportunities to connect with students as a student and opens up doors that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Excellent. And speaking of that, how do you find COVID and the distance that we find ourselves in is affecting students today? And what type of impact is that having? And how are you kind of helping them to deal with that?
Yeah, that is really significant. One student phoned and asked if he could go for a walk. He had sat on his glasses and needed a new pair. Dave, can you help me get a new pair of glasses? Mm-hmm. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know how to do that. He's soon going to be going back to his country in East Asia. And I'll be taking him to the airport on Wednesday. But it was a joy just to do that with him. And then just as we walked, and we continued to walk after getting his glasses, hearing his story, his background, and some of his experiences. And I said to him, how have you found that experience with the student group Lift Church on campus? What's that meant to you? Mm. And he shared, he said, I didn't have a lot of connection growing up with family, with friends, and that's really provided something important for me. So he shared that opportunity. And as they begin to belong, then we can share with them what we hope they will then believe in. So That was his experience. Another person lost his cell phone, and so I says, well, look, let's meet at Yorkdale. And that I checked online. The phone stores at Yorkdale are still open. I said, let's look for a phone for you. And so, these opportunities are coming, and of course, online, as I shared earlier. So it is different, but through that, there's openings coming. And each weekday noon, we join with others across Canada from our mission, OMF International, to pray for countries in East Asia that need the gospel. Mm. And just this week, I heard that Japan, there are more suicides in Japan than there are people dying of COVID. And we prayed about that. And then of North Korea, another day, there are 100,000 Christians in North Korea imprisoned for their faith. And how important to pray for them that they will remain strong in that very challenging time.
Yeah. Let me maybe turn it around and ask you, is there anything that you'd like to pass on to us so that we can better pray for you, we can better partner with you and understand more of what's going on?
Yeah, thank you. Please pray that these opportunities that God's bringing up, that we will always be alert and aware of what His word is for that person in that situation. You just never know. I went out of the front door just 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and there was an ambulance in our driveway, and they were taking our neighbor off. And just as he was being put into the ambulance, I said, I'll be praying for you. And just sometimes God gives us these opportunities that we can just somehow bring some awareness that God cares, God knows, and I want to, next time I see him, say, how did it go? By the way, he's back home, and so on, and just look for ways that we can bless people with who God is and his love for them. But please pray that we and together, we as a church, can be involved in the missional heart of God. There are actually 6 ways we can be involved in mission. We can pray, we can learn, we can go, we can send, we can welcome newcomers, and we can mobilize others. So if we can help in any way, any that want to be more involved, please get in touch, and we're happy to journey with you, to look for ways, to pray with you for ways to be more involved in the opportunities that God gives us and wants to give us as we think of this time.
That's a beautiful picture. If you'd like to learn more, please reach out to Dave and Kathy, and if you're not sure how to reach them, please contact us at missions@richview.org. We'd love to connect you all together.
Thank you so much, Sean and Deborah Ann, for leading us. Thank you so much to the Cooks for sharing with us. And thank you to everyone who's a part of Richview Church. I'm back. We were celebrating the birth of Asher, my son. Laura and I have been getting to know this little guy, and we have been tremendously blessed by him and by your prayers and by your support. So thank you to all of you. I just want to remind you that Bonnie McGinn, a saint of this church, someone who served, who was so encouraging, such a vital person in the life of our church, went to be with her Savior this past week. And there will be a memorial service at noon right here where you're watching. You can watch that. So I encourage you to stay for that. And if you want to share a tribute for Bonnie, you can go to richviewchurch.com/tribute. You can read the tributes that are there and you can supply one yourself. We really hope that you show up for that. We started a new Christmas series last week, and I'm happy to continue it. We've called it Unexpected. And kind of the idea of this journey, of this series, is, you know, what would it be like if we were to hear the Christmas story for the first time? It would be filled with unexpected twists and turns. Wouldn't it be great if we could experience some movie or some book? Perhaps there's a favorite Christmas movie that you have. Wouldn't it be great if we could experience that for the first time? I don't know what your favorite Christmas movie is. I like Elf, but there's lots of other ones that are great too. Family Man is another good one. Maybe you've got a favorite one yourself. And if there was like a pill that you could take where it would wipe your memory of just that one thing, So you could re-experience something for the first time. I might be one of the first to try out such a thing. There's something beautiful and wondrous about experiencing something for the very first time. There's something great about familiarity too, like that, you know, worn-in part of the couch that you just nuzzle right into. But there's something wonderful about experiencing something that you love just for the very first time. And my invitation to you this Christmas season is to look at the Christmas story as if it is with fresh new eyes. Many of us are familiar with the Christmas story, but some of us may not be. You may know kind of the Santa Claus version of the Christmas story, but you haven't yet heard the Christmas story, the story of Jesus, the story of his coming to earth. And my invitation to all of us is to look at these stories as if through, as if for the first time. Let's look at these things with a new sense of childlike wonder. And today, the unexpected thing that we're going to see in the Christmas story is an unexpected blessing. An unexpected blessing. God gave an unexpected blessing to this virgin named Mary. And we're going to be looking at that. Now, before I get into that, I want to talk about, you know, blessing. You know, what do we mean when we say, bless you? I know I say this to a lot of people. I say, hey, blessings at the end of an email, or I say, bless you. What do I mean by that? What am I hoping God will do when I say, bless you? Is it I'm hoping he will, you know, give you more money, or will you get that job offer that you're hoping for, or get that guy or girl that you're hoping to have a relationship with? I mean, what do I mean by blessing? And even a better question is, what does God intend to do when he does bless us? Because surely God does bless us. He blesses us in material ways, absolutely. I've got a shirt on my back. I've got a place that I can call home. I've got my daily bread. I've got a government that takes care of the rule of law. I mean, I'm tremendously blessed by God. And God gives other blessings as well. The incredible blessing of salvation through Christ. I mean, what greater blessing could there be? But there's another element to blessing that perhaps we don't think of all that much. And we're going to see that in this episode of the Christmas story. An unexpected blessing. And when we understand this, we're going to see in greater detail how God plans to bless you as you come to him. So let's take a look at this Christmas story. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And this is the story of Gabriel showing up to this virgin named Mary. So let's read this together. Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. It says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and Elizabeth is Mary's cousin. We talked a bit about Elizabeth last week. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So Gabriel, this messenger of God, this angel of the Lord, is coming to Mary's doorstep. And what does Gabriel have to say to Mary? Well, take a look. It says this. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the angel says to Mary, "You are highly favored. You are blessed. You are blessed of God. The Lord is with you." And Mary's wondering the same thing we would be wondering if an angel showed up to us and said we were greatly favored, we were highly blessed. We would think, what kind of blessing are you talking about? What is this blessing? And in Mary's shoes, she might be even more confused because, you know, as I've said, we kind of think of blessing in terms of material possessions, perhaps money, perhaps status, but Mary didn't have any of that. In fact, when we learn more about Mary, we know that Mary wasn't really blessed with all that much material possessions. She's poor. We learn later on that Mary and Joseph go to the temple to give a sacrifice for their newborn son, and the usual sacrifice would be a lamb, but they can't afford that. So they take two turtle doves instead, and that was a provision given to the poorest among them. So they're poor. They're not rolling in riches or anything. And also, we're talking about Mary, who was a woman, an unwed woman 2,000 years ago. She wasn't blessed with status or privilege. She was someone who didn't have a say in court. If she didn't have a man advocating for her, there was very little that she could do in a political sense. She's not married. So if she didn't have her father advocating for her, there was not much she could do politically. And also, this is a girl from Nazareth. No one knows anything about Nazareth. And if you do know anything about Nazareth, you think that it's a place where the uneducated and the poor live. Nazareth was not a place of great repute. So she's not blessed materially, she's not blessed with status, she's not blessed with a great location. So she's wondering, as we would, what is this blessing? And Gabriel is going to share this blessing with us. Take a look at what it is. The angel said to her, verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." There's that blessing again. You have found favor with God. "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Gabriel tells Mary what her great blessing is. She is going to be with child, and that child will grow up to be God's promised Messiah. He will rule the world. He will rule God's people in righteousness and justice, and he will make all things right through the sacrifice he gives on the cross. See the great blessing that's on Mary's life? Her great blessing is a great calling. What an incredible calling she has to bear and raise the very Son of God. What a calling. And Gabriel is calling this calling a blessing. But you might be me looking at this and thinking, how on earth is this calling a blessing? Do you usually think of a blessing when you think of a calling? When I think of a calling, I think of a responsibility or a burden. But Gabriel seems to be calling this a blessing. What's with that? We think of blessing in terms of material things. Perhaps we think of blessing in terms of salvation and forgiveness. But this blessing seems to be a calling on Mary's life. You know, many people will come to Jesus, make a decision for Christ, will believe in him, and they expect over the next few weeks that things are going to turn out right for them, that they're going to be blessed by God in completely new ways. They might think that they will get that raise, or they will get that job offer, or they will get that relationship they're looking for. Many people expect that when they come to Christ, and many people are disappointed when all of those things don't necessarily happen. In fact, for many people who come to Christ, things seem to get a lot harder. So is there no blessing when it comes to following after Jesus? Is there no guaranteed blessing? And in fact, there is one. There is a blessing that all of us have when we come to Christ, and it's a blessing of a brand new calling. This passage is going to talk about how calling is a blessing. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit more about calling. What is our calling? What does it mean to be called? Because here's something I hear from Christians all the time, and you might be thinking about this right now. You might be thinking these very words. I don't have a calling. Right? You might be thinking that. Well, I don't know what my calling is. What's my calling? If calling is such a blessing, I don't have it because I don't have a calling. I hear this often from Christians, from followers of Jesus. So what's going on there? Why don't we think that we have a calling? And I think the reason is because a lot of people confuse a general calling and a personal or a specific calling. I can tell you what your general calling is right now. In fact, if anyone were to come to me and say, "Tyler, what is my calling?" I would be able to tell you. I would be able to tell you the calling that is put on everyone's life. And those who come to Christ, those who believe in Christ, are those who have taken on this calling. And here it is. Your calling, the reason why you are here, the reason why you are created, the reason why you draw breath, is to worship God by obeying and enjoying him forever. That's your calling. All of us, no more can we say, "I don't know what my calling is." That's your calling, to worship God by obeying and enjoying him forever. That's why we're here. That's why we're made. That is our general calling. But we also have a specific or personal call that God puts on our lives. You know, Mary's general call is the same as everyone else's, to worship God by obeying and enjoying him forever. But Gabriel actually gets to tell her what her personal call is, so she knows. But you and me, I don't know about you, but Gabriel hasn't showed up at my door to tell me what my personal call is. So how can we know? What is our personal call? What is the specific way that we are to worship God by obeying and enjoying him forever? And here's a few ways that God can make that apparent to us. Obviously, we need to pray that God would direct our thoughts and direct our lives so that we discover our calling. But one way to think of our calling is this. Where has God gifted you? Where are your passions? And where is the world's need? If you can answer all those three questions, you're getting close to your calling. What is the world's need? What is the world's need? How has God gifted you? And what are your passions? If you can find an answer to those three questions, and it's the same answer, you're probably pretty close to the calling that God has on your life. Say, hey, you are a gifted evangelist, and you have a passion for evangelism. The world needs evangelism. I am willing to say that your call is to be an evangelist. What is it for you? Is it a teacher? Is it a pastor? Is it a missionary? Is it a prayer or an encourager? What is it for you? Now, some younger people might say, that doesn't help me because I don't know what my passions are. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't really know what the world's need is. I don't know how God's gifted me. In fact, some older people as well might be thinking the same way. I don't really know the answer to those questions. So how can you be guided? Here's one thing that I'd recommend you doing. Ask people who know you. Ask people who are close to you. Ask them, hey, what do you see my gifts are? Where do you see me serving? How has God gifted me? What do you see in me? And be prepared to take their answer. And perhaps try out whatever they say, and perhaps you will find your calling that way. So, hey, teenagers, ask your parents. Perhaps they have an idea if you don't have one yourself. Okay, we all have a general call, and that is to worship God by obeying him and enjoying him forever. We all have a personal and specific call that does that in a specific way. But why is that calling a blessing? That's what we're going to get into now. That's what this passage is going to teach us, how our calling is a blessing. Here's the first way that our calling is a blessing. Calling is a blessing because your life matters in God's plan. When we take on the call of God, when we take on the calling he's placed on our lives, suddenly our lives are given such enormous purpose, such enormous meaning, such enormous weight. Our lives matter because our lives are intertwined into the plan of God. When we take up the call God has for our lives, we have a life of meaning. Let's look again at what Gabriel says to Mary. He said, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Gabriel is given this enormous calling, and this calling is the beginning of the Christmas story. That God has come to us, that he has become present with us, that he has drawn near to us to show us how we can have eternal life. This is Christmas. The wonder of Christmas is that God himself, all-powerful, almighty, comes in the form of a baby. And this baby will grow up. This baby will live a perfect life to become the perfect sacrifice for sin, so that all who will believe in him will be saved. I charge you and I implore you and I ask you, believe in him. Receive him today. That is the story of Christmas. And this all-important mission that Jesus has, this all-important thing that Jesus must do, is now placed on the shoulders of small, insignificant, poor Mary. Mary, she must succeed in her calling. She must bear the Son of God. She must raise the Son of God. She must do it. It must happen. She has a calling on her life, and her calling matters. Mary mattered. And that's what happens to us when we take up our calling. We discover that our lives have significance. Our lives matter. We matter to God. We matter to the people around us. We matter to others. We matter to this world. We matter. We have lives of significance when we take up our call. Why does God do this? You know, God could perform his plan all on his own. He could just do it himself. Why does he involve Mary? Why does he involve any of us? And part of the reason must be that he desires to bless us by giving our lives meaning and purpose. Our lives have true significance. We aren't meant to just stand on the sidelines and watch the plan of God happen. We aren't puppets. We aren't just being controlled by God like a marionette. We aren't just random atoms colliding with each other in the universe. No, our lives have meaning and significance. We're not meant to just watch the plan of God happen. Get this, you are the plan of God. The way God intends to carry out his plan is through you, is through me when we take up our call. We are the plan of God. Get this, there are parts of God's plan that will not happen unless you do it. This was certainly true of Mary. Mary must, she's called, she must do this thing. And her life had such incredible significance for all people because she took up her calling that Gabriel gives her here, that God gives her here. So you might be wondering, okay, I can see how Mary's life has all this significance. I can see how what she does matters for everyone, but what about my life? How does my life have any significance to anyone? And it's true, your life may not have as much significance as Mary's. I mean, Mary's calling affects us all. We believe in Jesus Christ. We follow after him because Mary was taking up her call. She was part of God's plan. But your life, my life, we may not have significant lives for everyone, but we will have significant lives forever for someone. We will have eternally significant lives for someone. Maybe not everyone, but someone. There are people in your sphere of influence that God has called you to affect, to influence, to be a part of their lives. There is a calling on your life that God has just for you, and it gives you such significance, such meaning. So what is your calling? Are you an encourager? Are you a parent? Are you a homemaker? Are you a teacher? Are you a police officer? Are you a pastor or a member of the church? What's your calling? And how is that significant in the lives of the people around you? Calling is such an enormous blessing because it gives our lives such significance. That's the first reason. The second reason we see the significance, we feel blessing because of our calling is this. God enables you to do what you cannot do. When we take up God's calling in our lives, when we take up that significant part of God's plan that we are meant to play out, God performs his plan through us, even if it's something that we cannot do on ourselves, do by ourselves. God gives us abilities far beyond our own in order to accomplish his plan. That's certainly true in Mary's case. Take a look at what happens with Mary. She says, it says this in Luke 1:34 and on, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Mary starts off by saying, you know, Nazareth, we're not, you know, all that educated. Perhaps our public education system could use a little bit more funding. But I at least know this. I at least attended that health class, and I know that I haven't been with a man, and so I cannot conceive. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." God does through Mary and through Elizabeth something that they couldn't possibly do on their own. Mary conceives, even without being with a man. And Elizabeth conceives in her old age. God does through them far more than they can do themselves. Why? Because God had a calling on their lives. Elizabeth was called to bear John the Baptist. And Mary was called to bear the Son of God. And since they were called and they took up their call, no word from God will ever fail. When God has a calling on your life and you take up that call, he will intend those things to happen, even if you cannot do them on your own. He makes the impossible possible when we take up our call. In fact, the entire Bible is filled with stories of people who take up the call that God has on their lives, and then God works miracles through them. Look at Moses. His call was to deliver God's people from Egyptian slavery. And at certain points in that story, it looked absolutely hopeless. I mean, there was a point where Moses was with the Israelites, and they're trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. They've got nowhere to go. But God had a call on Moses' life, and no word from God will ever fail. And so that Red Sea split, and Moses was able to deliver his people. Same thing goes with Joseph. God had a calling on Joseph's life to save many from a famine. Yet there were times when he was thrown into a well, he was sold into slavery. It seemed hopeless. But God had a calling on Joseph's life, and no word from God will ever fail. And so he rose up the ranks of Egypt and became second in command to deliver many people from death. The same thing happened with Daniel. God had a calling on Daniel's life to lead God's people during the exile. But because of his prayer, he was thrown into a den of lions, and he should have been killed. These lions were famished. No one survived that treatment. But he did, because God had a calling on his life, and no word from God will ever fail. See, God not only makes the impossible possible through us, he makes the impossible inevitable. It's inevitable that God will accomplish his purposes through you when you take up your call. It's not just possible that God will transform your heart, transform your mind, transform your very person. It's not just possible he'll change your life. He will. It's inevitable he'll change your life. It's not just possible that he will use you to share his glory with the people around you. That's not just possible. It's inevitable. It's not just possible that God will raise you on the last day and resurrect you to eternal life. That's not just possible. It's inevitable. God will work wonders through his chosen people. He's done it with Mary. He's done it with many people in the past in scriptures, and he will do it through you as you take up your call. But again, it's easy to see how God did the impossible through Mary. She conceived miraculously, plain to see. But it's less obvious how God works miracles through us. Now, I've already mentioned a few. The fact that we are transformed in our character, the fact that we will be raised in the last day. But how else does God work miraculously through us? You know, I don't know about you, but I often hear stories from people about, you know, God things, like great, amazing works of God that happen. In fact, it's the same people, it seems, over and over who come to me and tell me these God stories. They say, hey, I prayed for this person on the sidewalk, and they followed up with me, and they were healed of whatever sickness they were dealing with. Or I shared my faith with someone, and they came to Christ. Or I prayed about this issue, and it just miraculously resolved itself. I hear these stories from people all the time, and I'm thrilled by them. They're amazing stories of God. And yet, part of my mind, I don't know if this is true for you, but part of my mind is thinking, okay, how come God didn't work through me that way? How come God doesn't work those miracles through me? I want those things to happen. I'm praying for these things. And yet it seems the same people again and again have these great God stories. We can get discouraged. We can feel small. We can feel insignificant. But here's what I'd say. If you were to ask those people who have all those great God stories, and you should ask them what their secret is. I've done this. Like, why? How do you get all these great God stories? What's going on? And they'll tell you, and most of them will say this: there's no secret. I just make myself available. I just make myself available to God, available to people, and God does the rest. That's what most of them will tell you. I just make myself available, available to God, available to people, and then I get to see God move. That's how they are seeing God work in these wonderful ways. They just make themselves available. And some of us have a real struggle with that. I mean, and there's good reason, right? The reason why we don't make ourselves available to God and to people, you know, no matter what, whether we're walking down the street or we're at work or whatever we're doing, the reason we don't do that is because when we make ourselves available, we also make ourselves vulnerable. When we make ourselves available to God, we're vulnerable. He may ask us to do something we're just not comfortable with doing. When we make ourselves available to people, we make ourselves vulnerable to their needs. And we don't really want to do that. Also, when we make ourselves available to people, we also open ourselves up to rejection. They may not want to hear what we have to say. They may not want our help. They may not want us to pray for them. We're just open to rejection that way. We're so afraid of being vulnerable that we fail to make ourselves available. And if we aren't making ourselves available, we may be stopping some things that God may want to do through us. So how do you make yourself available. During this pandemic time, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with online things and special greetings at the door, maybe not the same everyday things that we do when there was no pandemic, but there are ways that we can make ourselves available to people and available to God. One way that's always stuck with me is the story of someone who went to their laundromat at the same time every week, hoping to have conversations with the same people every week, hoping to build a relationship, praying for them, and hoping that God would work through them. And invariably, God does work through things like that. How do we make ourselves available? And are we too afraid of being vulnerable to see that happen? God has a great blessing in store for you. And it's when we take up our calling and watch and see how God does far more through us than we could do on our own. Calling is a blessing because God enables us to do beyond what we could do. Here's the third and final reason why we are seeing that calling is a blessing. Taking up our calling shows true faith. When we take up the calling that God has in our lives, it is a signpost to the world, to our own hearts, to the people around us, and to God that I believe, I trust, I know that God has this calling in my life, and I am taking it up. It is a signpost of faith. That is why calling is such a blessing. Take a look at the tremendous response Mary has to Gabriel. I mean, Gabriel just changed her life completely. And in just a few sentences, Mary has an entire life of calling in front of her. Everything is turned upside down for her. And look how Mary responds. Look at this faith-filled response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. What a faith-filled response. It's unbelievable. It shows so much about her faith. First of all, it shows that she desires the will of God to happen, right? She says, "May your word to me be fulfilled." She desires God's will to happen. She trusts that God will be able to accomplish his will. She believes that God is powerful to do his will. And she's humbly submitting to whatever God's will is. I mean, it's so filled with faith. And when we take up our calling with that kind of eagerness, we show that same kind of faith. You can imagine some other responses Mary might have had to Gabriel. I mean, Mary could have said, for instance, "I'm not ready for this. I'm not going to do it. I don't want kids. How dare you make me look scandalous? How dare you make me look like I've done something I haven't done? How dare you ruin the relationship between me and Joseph and me and my parents and me and my community? How dare you do these things?" She doesn't say those things. By the way, not because those things aren't true. It would have been scandalous to the community. She's not ready. She may not have wanted kids. She may not have wanted her life to look like this. It's not that she didn't say it because it's not true. She didn't say it because she trusted God. She trusted that God's calling on her life was filled with the wisdom and goodness of God. She takes up this calling not because it's easy, not because it's comfortable, not because she could do it. She takes up this call because she trusted God. She had faith. And that's the incredible calling, or the incredible blessing of taking up our calling. It shows the substance, the material of our faith. You know, taking up our calling and being a believer in Christ, they're really connected. They're intimately connected. We aren't just called to, you know, be saved, trust in Christ, and then simply sit back and enjoy that salvation. Many people do that. They're saved, and then they just get to enjoy the rest of their lives as saved people. Some people will do that. But that's not what we're called to do. We are saved in order to do good works. We are saved because we are called to show God's glory to the world. We are saved because we are called to worship him by obeying and enjoying him forever. We have a calling on our lives if we are saved. We're not meant to just sit back. We're meant to show our faith in action by taking up the call that God has for us. And it's such a blessing to take up our calling. Don't flee from the blessing that God wants to give to you in your life by avoiding your calling. Because ultimately, the reason why blessing or our calling is such a blessing is this: you will see God powerfully at work in your life. When we take up the calling that God has for us, we will see God at work.
We will see God transforming our hearts so that we submit to his will. We will see him enabling us to do far more than what we could do ourselves. We will see him do incredible things through us, and it will give our lives such meaning, such significance for now and forever. Calling is such an incredible blessing. Do not miss your calling. Mary didn't. Mary took up her calling. Mary had a life of significance for all of us. Now, your life, my life, we may not have that much significance. But can you imagine this Christmas what God might do through you? What is your calling? Take it up and discover the incredible blessing that God has in store for you. Let me pray as I invite Sean and Deborah Ann to close us off in worship. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I ask here that you would give us clarity for the calling you have in our lives. The general call to worship you by obeying and enjoying you forever, but also the specific and personal call that you have on each of our individual lives. Help us, Lord, to discover what that is, and help us to take up that call in faith, knowing that you will strengthen us through it. God, we trust you, we need you, and we want your help in our call. We look forward to the ways you will use us, use the people of Richview to show the community, show Etobicoke, show the world your love. God, help us to take up this call. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.